Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
And it's so important for us to really walk away from this series knowing most of all who we are. And we will only understand who we are if we know where we come from. Let me ask you a question. Where do you come from? Okay, let me try again. Where do you come from? Okay. When God created man, he created man in his image and his likeness. In his image and likeness, he created them. Then God later on gave man an earth suit. Also in the book of Jeremiah, it says, before I formed you, I knew you. So you were already before you were formed to who you are now, what you are now, right? So we know that God already knew us before we were formed. And, you know, we can get into a whole theological debate about that, but let's leave that to the theologians. Is that okay? Because it's the foolish things that will confound the wise. That will... Okay. Maybe I didn't use the right word. It's okay. All right. So this morning we're going to get into some stuff here. So the first question we need to ask ourselves is where we come from. If we know we come from God, then we know that that's where we should get our identity. Because he is our Father. Jesus came to reveal the Father to us. When his disciples went to him and asked him how they should pray, he taught them like this. He said, in this manner pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So Jesus was trying to reveal to his disciples that God is our Father. Can you say amen? So where do you get your identity? Your identity comes from your father. If you don't know God as a father, you will always look for identity outside of him. You will always try and find identity from somewhere else. In fact, many times other people will give you an identity and you will allow it. But if you know who you are and you know where you come from, you will take God's identity on you. Can you say amen? Let me show you what I'm talking about. Genesis 1:26, let's take a look at this. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let's stop right there. Adam's identity came from the image and the likeness of God. Adam basically was the first man on earth, right? So he was the first one that was like God on the earth, that had his image and his likeness. But how many of you know that Adam lost the image and likeness, but Jesus restored it? Now, this is a concept that is hard to understand, and we're going to really dig into it this morning. But Adam lost the image and likeness, and Jesus restored it to us by dying on the cross. The image and likeness of God begins to be restored in us when we get born again. Until you know where you come from and who you are, you will act like somebody else or do certain things to find identity. But once you know that you are a son of God, you will begin to act and find identity in him. Amen. Can you say amen? All right. How do you know if someone has the image and likeness of God in their lives? Because of how they act, because of how they speak, because of what they do. Before we get saved, our actions are very much the opposite. Amen? We have jealousy, envy, drunkenness, selfish ambition. The list goes on. I don't want to tell you about all your sins, okay? But that's what we manifest in our lives. And the truth is that even when we do good, we do good because we don't do it for the right reason. Even when we think we're doing it for the right reason, we're not doing it for the right reason. Because you see, anything that doesn't have light is darkness. So where there's an absence of light, there's darkness. And He is the light of the world. So the only way you can manifest His light is if He's in you. That's why Jesus said, when you give with your right hand, don't let your left hand know. Now let's be honest. How is that possible? He's watching, right? But I saw this beautiful thing in The Chosen. Have you seen The Chosen? If you haven't seen The Chosen, you need to watch it. And the way they explain it is so good, when Jesus kind of says, listen, don't let your left hand congratulate your right hand. So in life, oftentimes we will do good, or people will do good, but really the truth is that the glory gets given in the wrong place. Because in that, there's no eternal change. Light isn't being manifest. Because even if I feed you a loaf of bread, unless I give you true life, you'll be fed for the day, and tomorrow you'll die and go to hell. Are you with me, guys? Okay. Thank you so much. How do you know that you are a child of God? Because Romans 8:16 says this, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. Now, listen to me. You can theologically argue all you like. There is no debate about what that says. When you take Scripture, you take it at face value first, always. That's the way we interpret Scripture. What is the author trying to say by using this? Listen, take it and manifest, change it into whatever language you want. I'm telling you now, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will witness with our spirits, and it will witness with our spirits that we are children of God. You are a child of God. Where should you get your identity? From the place you were dropped off, or from God? Someone said dropped off. That's what normally happens. We allow our atmosphere and those around us to determine our identity. But as you mature, you'll begin to understand and hear God's voice and allow Him to give you your identity. And I'm going to teach you all about this now. So let's take a look at this. So the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit, but it goes further than that, okay? And if children, verse 17, and if children, then heirs. Now, we spoke about the children part last week and the fact that we are sons of God. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And we'll get to the next part in just a moment. Let's quickly jump to Galatians 4, verse number 6. I just want to show you the same thing somewhere else. Okay, Galatians 4, verse 6, and we'll come back to Romans 8, 17 in just a moment. And because you are sons, everybody say, I'm a son. Say it again. I want you to get it, guys. You are a son and a daughter of God. And it's terrible because I can see some of you sitting there like, not me. Well, that's exactly where the Satan wants you to be. That's exactly where the enemy wants you to be. In that place where you go, not me, because you won't even manifest anything. How can you? If you live defeated, or you don't carry that DNA. You don't carry that identity. In order for you to be who God has called you to be, you must carry His identity. When Adam lived on this earth, God gave him an identity. I jumped ahead of myself in this verse. I'm trying so hard to hold back. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, look at this now, you are no longer a slave, but a son. Everybody say, I'm a son. Listen, I'm making you do this not because I think you're 3 years old. I want you to say it. I want you to speak it. I want you to begin to believe it. You are no longer a slave, but a son. And look at this. Again, he doesn't stop there. And he says, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So you are not only a son in identity, but there is something for you to do. There is something for you to do. What is that? To take an inheritance. And let me ask you a question. If someone gives you an inheritance, what do? Do you look at it and go, oh, that's nice? Or do you use that inheritance and build something out of that inheritance and make something great out of that inheritance? Amen. That's what the purpose is with the inheritance, right? Let's go back to Romans 8:17. Romans 8:17. He says this, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God. Now watch, and joint heirs with Christ. The word joint there basically means joint possessor. In other words, we also will have some form of possession of an inheritance that God has for us. And listen to me, this goes beyond salvation. This goes beyond salvation. Because listen, we are justified when we get saved. We go through a process of sanctification, and one day our bodies will be glorified. But until then, guess what? This thing is dying. But something has happened on the inside. And that's what we need to talk about. Now, we know that we were created in His image and His likeness, right? We are His image and likeness. If we are now a son of God, then we must have His image and likeness. Can you say amen? All right. Adam and Eve had the image and likeness of God. But I need to show you something. They gave it away. They gave it away. How do I know? Because the very next thing that God says is this. Look at this. Let's go back to Genesis. I'm hitting over my mints. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let's go there. All right. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. God makes man. This is good. Now, let me give man a purpose. Are you watching? Let them have dominion. Everybody say dominion. So God gives man dominion over the earth, okay? Over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and all that stuff. God creates man. Man is like God. Man has the image and likeness of God. God says, okay, now I'm going to put you in the garden. I'm going to give you an earth suit, and I want you to have dominion over the earth. Now, that was lost when Adam and Eve fell. It was given away. Who was it given to? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions this morning. It was given to the enemy. How do we know that? Let me give you one scripture for it. Are you okay, guys? All right, one scripture. One scripture. John 12, verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. The word ruler there is the same word or a very similar word that is used in the Greek to describe that Hebrew word for dominion. Are you with me? How did he become the one who had dominion? It was given to him. Man lost it, surrendered it to him. Are you with me? So when he lost it, now, how do I know that that word is so similar? Because if you look at the Septuagint is the first book that was written where the Hebrew Bible was translated directly into the Greek language. For those of you that are academic. Then what happened was when it was translated into Greek, we see the Greek words that they used back then to translate the Hebrew Bible. And we see the word used there for and God gave them dominion is the same word or related rather to the word that is used therefore in the Greek for the ruler of this world. So man gives their dominion away. Why? Because they've lost something. What have they lost? The image and likeness. Are you with me? All right. Somebody's with me somewhere. Now, in order for us to understand this, remember what I said to you. Now, understand, guys, we're at the end of the series. This is what we call stake day. Okay, this is the day you get a little bit of steak. So you need to kind of stay with me. We're going to go to the deeper things. And if you don't, you know, spiritual things. Jesus said, how can I tell you things about heaven if you don't even understand natural things? But I'm going to give you some steak today. Some of you will get it. Most of you will get it. Some of you may not, but just stay with me. Okay, allow yourself to just receive what the Lord is saying, okay? This, what I'm sharing with you today is truth and has the potential to change you forever. Amen. All right. So, what we need to understand is God first creates man in his image and likeness. Now, how is that? John 4:24 says this, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Okay, let's confirm that somewhere else. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Listen, this dimension that we live in on this earth, this dimension, this realm, this earthly realm, was created out of that dimension. Listen to me. God spoke. What was God? A spirit. So the spirit realm, out of the realm of the spirit, he spoke this dimension, this realm. Are you with me, guys? So what happened was when he spoke this realm, this dimension, that's the realm that we see. Now, in order for us to be able to operate with the image and likeness that he created us with, which is in a different dimension, it's the spirit dimension, we need to do it in the spirit. How do we know this? The battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spirits. In other words, when we battle on this earth, we will not battle in this dimension. We will battle in the spiritual dimension. Now, outside of Christ, you can do squat in that dimension. You can do nothing in that realm. But what do people do? They go to fortune tellers, witches, sorcerers, and all those people to find out the future and to find out the things of the realm of the supernatural. And that's wrong. When God has created us in the spiritual dimension, that's why we have a desire for the spiritual stuff. People get so excited about Harry Potter. Come on. There's a real spiritual dimension. With real love, real authority, real power. And it comes from God. It's the spirit realm that comes out of God. Listen, I can go on for hours, talk to you about fallen angels and where demons come from and all of that stuff, but that's not for today. But there is so much more. Most Christians, we just walk around thinking, let's just make it to heaven. I don't want to just make it to heaven. When I get to those gates, man, when I leave this world and go to the next one, when my eyes open in that dimension, I'm going to be going like this. I need to hear the words. Well done. Good and faithful servant. All I'll be doing is looking for my Jesus. I don't just want to get there. I've been created in his image and likeness. I've been created. Now watch this now. All right, guys, are you okay this morning? I know it's a little different. So we know that the Lord is spirit and the battle is in the spirit realm. Now Jesus came to restore that. And what did he do? Jesus gave us his Holy Spirit. When Nicodemus comes to Jesus, Nicodemus says to Jesus, what must I do? And Jesus says to him, listen, in order for you to inherit the kingdom of God, you must first be born of spirit and born of water. Why? Because he was dead on the inside. The spirit was already dead. But when you get born again and you accept Jesus, your spirit comes alive. What's happened to you? The image and likeness has been restored on the inside. Are you with me? Now you have the image and likeness of God on the inside of you. And how many of you know that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all that stuff, right? So what he does is he begins to work on the inside of you, changing your nature and character. We are sons of God by adoption. Jesus was the Son of God in nature. He was the Son of God. He had the nature of God. we don't have the nature of God, but God in us begins to change our nature. Okay, now, when we get born again, we begin to change on the inside. And we accept that. That's okay with us. But we forget about the purpose that God created man. The purpose why God created man was to give them dominion. When Jesus came on the earth, he came and he said, I have come to set up a kingdom. And the Romans were so afraid, and the religious people were so scared that this was going to be a threat to the Romans, and that they were going to end up building a kingdom and destroying and overthrowing the Romans. Meanwhile, it was a spiritual kingdom. But what did he say? He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. What does that mean? I'm so glad you're asking. What does the word kingdom mean? The Greek word for kingdom is basileia, which basically means royal rule, royal power, and dominion. So God is saying, once you get born again, you will begin to change on the inside, but something else is also going to happen. I want you to move out of the natural. I want you to move into the realm of the spirit. I want you to move back into my image and likeness. I want you to have dominion. Why? So that you can manifest him on the earth. Let me give you an example. Let's take a look at an example. Is that okay? All right. Jesus comes on the earth, and he is the first Son of God, who's the express image of God. He's on the earth, and when he comes on the scene, what does he do? He begins to act like God, right? And he begins to act out of his identity. Who is he? He's the Son of God. So what does he do? He begins to love like the Son of God. He begins to walk in the peace like a Son of God. He begins to pray like the Son of God. He begins to show mercy like a Son of God. He has compassion like a Son of God. He heals the sick like a Son of God. He casts out demons like a Son of God. This is what he does. He brings the dominion and the authority that was given to him because of who he was in Christ, in God, right? Now we are in Christ. Can you say amen? Amen? Now we're in Christ. What are we supposed to do? What is your purpose? To manifest who he is. His love. His mercy. How's that going to happen? It's all going to come from him. It can't be you. But it starts with one thing. Who are you? Where do you come from? And why are you here? Most of us can't answer that question. I know exactly why I'm here. I know exactly where I come from, and I know where I'm going as well. But while I'm here, I will do what I'm called to do. Forget about being a pastor. That's great. But what I really want to do is I want to be who he says I am. I want to have dominion. I want to have authority. I want to share his love. I want to share his mercy. I want to share his goodness. I want to share what he has. And how are people going to see it? They're going to see it in you. That's why Jesus said, he didn't say go make witnesses, be a witness, make disciples just because. He wanted to just add numbers. He wanted to manifest his glory. It's his kingdom that has come on earth as it is in heaven. All right. You see, God is always doing something in us to change us, but he's also always doing something through us. The world will try and define who you are. Religion will also try to define you. But you must understand, God doesn't work that way. God works with love. God works, he will never abandon you. God works in a way as a good father. God is full of compassion. God is full of mercy. And he will manifest through you once you know who you are. If you don't know who you are, you will always look around for this. Who am I? Where do I come from? I'm just like my earthly father. I'm just like my earthly mother. I'm just like those people who said that something that I did. Or what happens is eventually you begin to see yourself so badly in such a fallen way that you even begin to destroy yourself. Who do you think it is that would want to destroy you? Why do you think we get addicted? Addiction is the beginning of destruction. It will eventually get you to be destroyed. Jesus came to take away sin. We don't like to talk about sin, but the truth is, the problem is that we live our lives controlled by sin because we so badly don't want to sin. And then when we don't want to sin, we start focusing on sin. And then we become a slave to that sin, when that's not what God called us to do. You see, He knew we would be a slave to sin, so He came to set us free. How did He set us free? By dying on the cross. And then what begins to happen is once you accept Him and He comes inside you, you begin to change. But there's more. There's more. You see, we've spoken already about the part where you become transformed on the inside. But Jesus also said to His disciples before He went up to heaven, He said, wait, tarry, wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. They already received the Holy Spirit, but He said that they must wait for the Spirit to come upon them. For what? For power. Power for what? For dominion. Power to do what? To express His dominion, to express His authority. For what? To trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We should not live as defeated Christians. We should live as Christians who have authority and power. And the first thing that happens is we must take control of ourselves, or you'll never control your environment. Once you have control over yourself, then you'll begin to have control over your environment. And the truth is, what you do represents whose image and likeness you are representing on the earth. Whose image and likeness is being reflected through your life? We all need to ask ourselves that question. If the image of God, if the likeness of God is being presented through us, then we know that we are walking with Him and being matured and changed. It's a process. Yes, absolutely. It's a process. But it starts by knowing who we are. If we don't know who we are, we will never be able to express His image and His likeness. You can never act like a son unless you know you are a son. The way that that happens, the way that you will know that you are a son is the way that you approach Him. Listen to me now. When we approach God, I taught you last week that the enemy is watching carefully to see how you see yourself. The Bible says when they came back from, when the spies checked out the promised land and they came back, they said, we see ourselves like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so they also saw us that way. The way you see yourself is so important. And when you approach God, if you approach Him in a way that shows that you are a defeated Christian with no authority and power, guess what? The enemy knows you have none. But if you approach God as a son and as a daughter, knowing who you are in Him, not because of what you've done, but because of what He's done. You see, we don't approach God, our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be My name. It's hallowed be Your name. What does that mean? It means You are holy. But when you understand what took place on the cross, you will understand that it's because He's holy and there's an exchange that you've been made holy. Now, when there's stuff you've done wrong, like any true real relationship, you say, Father, forgive me. But any true real father, if you're genuine with Him, He'll forgive you and you move on. Approach Him as though you know Him, as a father that loves you, that has an identity, a plan for your life. Be careful that you don't approach Him. Once you begin to understand that God has a plan for your life, that He can use you, don't approach Him to be used. Don't approach Him praying only for the anointing and for power and for the gifts. Although we should desire the gifts, but the key is to pursue love. What kind of love should we pursue? agape, His love. Now, how do we become more and more like Him, really? And how do we manifest Him more than the things that have control over our lives? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions this morning in Vero Beach. If you don't say amen, you better say oh my. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 16 says this. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, here it is, into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are changed more and more into the image of God in one thing, when we're with Him, when we're in relationship with Him, when we're in intimacy. Not religion. It's not religion. Religion cannot change you. Religious can give you a set of beliefs and can make you very clever. But relationship changes you. It's the people that walked with Jesus that were changed by Him. If you walk with Him, He will change you. If you walk with the Holy Spirit, He will begin to change you. What will happen as He begins to change you? You will begin to manifest Him. All of Him. The Bible says in Acts 3 verse 3, can two walk together unless they agree? So in other words, if you begin to become distant from God and you begin to lose that relationship with Him, you will begin to manifest the image of this world and begin to fall into that trap where things just become acceptable. I remember when I was a young Christian, I would just so badly not want to sin. Man, if you could just see how you guys are looking at me this morning. I don't even think about sin anymore. All I think about is how desperately I want to be with Him. How desperately I want to hear His voice. So when I wake up in the morning, it's like my eyes are not even open and I'm like, man, I need to talk to You, Lord. I need to hear Your voice. I want to know You more. I want to have You in my thoughts, in my inner man, in my outer man. I want You all over. I want to be with You. So sin doesn't even, it's just not me. Do I still sin? Yes. But it doesn't have dominion over me anymore. Because I submit to Him. And submitting to Him how? In relationship. You see, what happens to so many of us is we become discontent with our walks with God. We become unsatisfied with the way that we are in our relationship with God. And then slowly but surely we begin to deteriorate and our relationship gets affected so badly. Then we can't hear God. We can't have intimacy with God. And then guess what happens? You will manifest Him less and less and less. The image and likeness that will come out of you will be that of the world. Like what? Addictions? Sexual immorality? You'll find your identity in having relationships that are not right. Doing things that are not right. And that's where our identity will come from. But when we're walking with God and we have relationship with Him, we will begin to manifest His image and His likeness on the inside, and then it'll also come out from the outside. And you will be able to walk with authority. You will be able to do just the things that Jesus did. So hard to believe. But it's available. Otherwise, the Bible isn't telling the truth. See, the problem is not the Bible. The problem is our minds. When we can surrender our hearts to Him, really surrender our hearts to Him, and seek after Him in relationship because we desire Him, that's when we begin to overcome. Accept what He did for you. What do you have to do? Only believe. Surrender and rest in who He is. Stop trying. Stop trying. Stop battling. Because the battle isn't yours. It's the Lord's. And when you wake up in the morning, don't think about how now you have to do so much or else you won't be anointed. Rather get up and say, good morning, Father. I want to be with you. And if you want to pray for hours in tongues, that's great. If you don't, do whatever you do. Do your thing. A young man said to me a few days ago, Pastor Alex, I connect with God when I worship. I said, well, then worship. Amen. Worship a lot. So you can connect with Him even more. But let Him change you from the inside and let Him change you on the outside. And you will have victory. Victory over yourself. And then watch how you will begin to have victory around you. In your life, you'll be able to influence your environment. Dominion and authority. Are you with me, guys? Are you okay? All right, I'm almost done. If we approach Him full of fear, insecure, competitive, or for more anointing, we're missing it. We need to approach God the way that Jesus did. Listen to this. When Jesus prayed to the Father as a son, He would say things like this. In John 10:30, I and my Father are one. John 5:19, and Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do, for whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. John 3:68 says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Listen, there's a scripture that says that if we ask anything in His name, He'll do it for us. Listen, what does that mean? That means if we ask anything that we hear Him say, He will do it. It doesn't mean that if we ask what we want for our own selfish ambition, it will happen. Why? Because it's not in the spirit. It's in the natural. But when it comes from heaven, when you get a word from heaven and you speak that word that comes from heaven, listen, it will have the ability to move mountains. It will change circumstances. It will cast out demons. It will heal the sick. It will bring restoration and deliverance. It will change you. It will take you out of addiction. It will change your heart, take you out of relationships. You might not know whether you're a man or a woman, but when you have an identity that comes from God, He will call you a son or a daughter. Can you say amen? Don't let anything hinder your relationship with God. What is hindering your relationship with God? It's the very thing that stops you from having fellowship and communion, that relationship that you're involved in. It's the very thing that stops you from having fellowship and communion with Him, that addiction that you keep going back to. Listen, whatever it is, I don't know what it is, but this morning in this place, the Spirit of the Lord is here, and He wants to change you. Listen, on the inside, and He wants to give you dominion and authority to control your environment so that you can walk as a prince of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are a king and a priest unto our God. You have been given authority and power. We must stop living as though we have to live one day up, one day down. Listen, it doesn't matter how we feel, because in the spirit I am who He says I am. In the spirit I'm a son of God. In the spirit I have dominion and authority. Listen, when that devil stands in front of me, it doesn't matter how I feel. It matters how he is, and who he is has authority over that thing. In the name of Jesus the Christ, it doesn't matter what it is. What you need to worry about is what's standing in the way. What's standing in the way of your relationship? What's standing in the way of intimacy with Him? And this morning, church, in this place, it doesn't matter what it is. Don't look around you. Don't worry about it. If it's alcohol abuse, if it's drug addiction, if it's sexual abuse, if it's improper relationship, if it's whatever, money, whatever it is, I want to ask you this morning, give it to Him. Give it to Him. The Spirit of God is in this place. If you give it to Him this morning and you surrender to Him this morning, He will take it away.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.